This material is conveyed as a solicitation for entering into a derivatives transaction. This material has been prepared by a Daniels trading broker who provides research market commentary and trade recommendations as part of his or her solicitation for accounts and solicitation for trades. Daniels Trading, its principals, brokers, and employees may trade in derivatives for their own accounts or for the accounts of others. Due to various factors such as risk tolerance, margin requirements, trading objectives, short-term versus long-term strategies, technical versus fundamental market analysis, and other factors, such trading may result in the initiation or liquidation of positions that are different from or contrary to the opinions and recommendations contained therein. Past performance is not necessarily indicative of future performance. The risk of loss in trading futures contracts or commodity options can be substantial, and therefore investors should understand the risks involved in taking leveraged positions and must assume responsibility for the risks associated with such investments and for their results. You should carefully consider whether such trading is suitable for you in light of your circumstances and financial resources. You should read the risk disclosure accessed at www.danielstrading.com. Daniels Trading is not affiliated with, nor does it endorse any trading system, newsletter, or similar service. Daniels Trading does not guarantee or verify any performance claims made by such systems or services.
Hello and welcome to Inside Commodity Futures. My name is Craig Turner, author of Turner's Take. Got John Payne over here with This Week in Grain, but before we get over to John, let's just go real quick with what happened today in the grain markets. Corn came down 24 cents. And looks like December corn is going to be settling around 409, 410. We even touched limit down at one point at 408.75. That's in the December contract. And soybeans today in November came down 22 cents, where we last traded 11.10 before the session stopped. And that certainly has been on the lowest close we've had since going back to early June. So, John, what did you think about the price action today?
Well, boy, it's amazing how quickly things change. You know, it's I think just confluence of events. You had the options expiration that's going to kind of underpin all of this. You know, cheap options to start the week. I think the $4 put was going for less than a penny a couple of days ago, and now it's in the money. So that exacerbates the move. You have the weather, you know, the weather bulls that are kind of being rebuffed right now by the USDA. These crop progress reports aren't showing really much of a problem. And then you have the actual weather, which is, appears to be changing to the better. So between all those three things, I think you just saw a rush to the exits, kind of like that. You know, imagine a Christmas morning sale at Walmart, you know, and everybody's trying to run into the store. That's exactly the way it looks. Everybody's trying to get out and just hitting that sell market button. And before you know it, we're limit down. So I can't remember the last time we were limit down. It must have been years, you think?
Yeah, and corn, it's been a while, right, because the price has been so low for so long. And, you know, right. This is and you're right. You know, the funds have a big long position. Mm-hmm. You know, but basically, you know, everyone was trading the corn market on, you know, the heat and the lack of precipitation. But between the corn, the ratings for the grains for corn that came out on Monday, and then the weather models being a little bit cooler and drier throughout the Midwest, you know, if we have around the trend line yield, even if corn loses a million acres or something like that, we're still going to have, you know, adequate stocks for both old crop and new crop, it's mm-hmm. looking like. And, you know, it's hard to justify 450 corn. I do think we'll see some support around 390, you know, $4, but we're mm-hmm. still 20 cents away from 390. So it'll be, and then, you know, with corn, you know, we and you've both been talking and writing about this, you know, the critical time for corn in growth is now, end yep. of June, early July. It's when weather's the biggest, and, you know, as the forecast change, you can really do it. You know, next week we will have the acreage report. We're expecting corn to lose a little acres, which is which is probably a little bit bullish, but if you're adding that yield because of weather, that counterbalances that. The one thing, and we'll talk about this more next week, but the one thing I'm really going to be looking for is a miss on the stocks. I think we could have maybe a million or 200 million, 100 million to 200 million more corn on the quarterly stocks than the average guess, just because we could see more feed go to wheat than many are looking for. So I don't know. Maybe we get to, what's that, John?
You've been pretty good on the stocks numbers. I mean, you called the bean the beam break there a while back. I was thinking maybe you'd go the other way on it, but I agree. I mean, I think that stock summer is going to be key, but it's probably offset by the acreage, you know, where we're going to get a million less.
Right. So if you get them, so maybe those kind of offset each other. Just be, you know, the one thing that would be bearish, and again, we'll talk more about this next week, but, you know, a couple of years ago, you know, because we had a high prevent plant number last year, you know, I can see a scenario where, you know, maybe we don't lose any corn acres, but only gain in beans just because more acres come out of prevent plant. But you never know. I mean, we'll see. I don't think it's going to be as big a deal with corn, because if we're talking about a million acres either way in corn, that's 160, 170 million bushels. You know, if you have a carryout of 2.1 billion or 1.9 billion or 2 billion, that's still a lot of corn, right? So
right.
It's not going to like be crushing. It could be a matter of nickels and dimes, but it won't be dollars, you know, from a miss like that.
And it's weird, you know, you see a break like this, and I can't remember the last time we moved on really no news. You know, it wasn't like we got, you know, the crop progress yesterday was a little bit bearish. Obviously, things look good, but it wasn't like we found a bunch of product that's available.
Right.
You know, so I think the market, and this is the difference, I think, from last year, is that this is a little bit demand-driven. So, you know, demand is pretty consistent, in my opinion. And you look at the South American story, that's written. Even talking today, there's some reports maybe coming out that down the road they're going to start to tax exports on grain.
Right.
Got to keep a lot of it in country. And I think that's, you know, this corn story is just in a little bit in its infancy. But I didn't see a lot of reason for the run-up. And I think for me, I were kind of back to a level where I'd be a little more square. If you break 20 cents, I think it's a pretty good opportunity to buy, especially if you're on the processor side of things. I mean,
right.
It doesn't feel like this is going to be a 320 flush. I don't know about you.
No, I agree with that. That's why I was saying 390. I do think 390 is going to be support until this crop is made. And then depending on how big the demand is and how big, you know, how much the yields and production end up being at the end here, we'll just kind of have to see.
Yeah, and so, you know, you're a spread guy. So spreads fall apart today in corn as well. Dece, which is one I've been writing about quite a bit, just, you know, saw the Weber premium. So both of us, I think, can be in agreement. This is just a kind of a removal of weather premium. You know, longs getting out on the spec side, and it's just a revisit of some recent trend lines. You think, like, what, 390 maybe on that? Is that Dece or July you're talking
Dece,
about?
I was talking about new crop corn, and I'm just, you know, looking at it here. I just think, you know, 390 would be some pretty big support here if we got down there where, you know, for us to break below 390, in my mind, you know, beans would have to break big too. We'd also have to see, you know, probably yields be very good. But the thing is, like, with – or, you know, maybe we use much, much more feed, you know, in the wheat than for corn. But other than that, I just find it hard for the scenarios to get where we're gonna have much over 2 billion on the carryout. So if we're gonna have 2 billion in the carryout and we can see demand actually, you know, pick up, especially in the export market, just hard to see us going to 360 or 370. Sure. I think over the short term, and at least for the summer, 390 I would think would be more of a support. And that 450, I mean, you look at I mean, if you go back far enough in the chart in December, 450 is a double top, right? And going back to last year. So I would make the argument for it. I know it's a big 60-cent range, but 390 right now for the summer would be my kind of bottom support.
Sure,
and the top resistance would be 450, just based on the charts and where the balance sheets are.
Okay. Putting it on beans.
Beans, okay. So now beans are a totally different story, right? Because we're early in the game on soybeans.
Right.
And you know, even if you look at you know, we've gone from 1180 to 1110 in soybeans, 70 cents lower, right? And yet if you look at a daily chart, we're still in an uptrend. And I think we're probably still on the support line. So,
yes.
You know, and so what's interesting about soybeans here is, you know, this crop is going to be made in July and August. Excuse me. You know, this crop is going to be made July and August, and we'll just have to see, you know, where the weather is. Also, the thing with beans is it looks like to us, or a few of us over here anyways, that we're not expecting a whole lot of sales coming out of Brazil anymore on the soybean market. Like, they may be selling a few cargoes even here and there. You might hear the announcement, but it sounds like to us that their export window is ending, and that means it's ending early, and there's going to be more demand coming to the United States. You know, crush margins in China are still positive, last I read, still positive in the United States. And then you throw in, you know, there is some concern that the USDA may be underestimating demand in coming from China and also around the world. So what's interesting about soybeans, which is different than corn and wheat, is even though there are some demand drivers in corn and wheat, a lot of this price action has been supply focused. You know, with the weather lately, and now that the weather's changed, you know, corn really kind of fell apart today. Beans didn't. Even if we do get a big bean crop, even if we add on the 2 million acres with 84 million acres in beans, and we have a 46 yield, we're still going to have at best just adequate soybean stocks. And if we get more demand coming from South America, or if the USDA is under, you know, lowballed global demand to begin with, you know, all of a sudden soybeans start getting tight and becomes, and there's an actual demand driver just from, you know, basically protein demand, you know, in the United States and around the world.
Yeah, and I think you do a good job. But I'd like to do something maybe a little visual next week where we'll put up a picture of the spreadsheet that we made in the show notes so you can see it. But you know. Beans need ration. Corn, you can make the case, we've got plenty around. 2 billion is, you know, pretty comfortable for the market. But even at, you know, an 84, you start penciling 84 and you go up to, you know, a 48 yield or a 47 yield, that's above trend. You're still looking at stocks to use below 10%. Throw in the fact that we're not getting more from South. They have what they have.
Yeah,
they're not bringing a lot on. They're not going to bring a lot to the export table. So just you got to think a little bit ahead. If you're going to make sales here, you're really gambling that one, South America's going to have a good crop next year.
Yep.
You know, they're going to need a good crop next year, and the U.S. is going to need a good crop next year. So you got to fight through two seasons of this kind of move when you're going to have a stocks to use number below 10%. So, well, I think, you know, we could see some correction here easily. I think beans could trade into the mid-10s. I'm not a seller there. I think you're much more apt to see the market jump on some sort of weather story in July or August. I mean, it's way too early to start talking about what it looks like on the model. So for me, I'm a little more optimistic. And I think that stands for some good news for corn, too. I think corn could break down to that 380, 370 level again on the front month for sure. But I would be more apt to tell folks – you know, lean on the bean market here. I think beans are going to stay somewhat elevated. I think that keeps corn somewhat in those higher 380 ranges, at least in the shorter.
Yeah, and soybeans, you know, are holding support long term. So are the spreads. You know, I talk a lot about November versus May because that's a U.S. new crop versus next year's South America new crop. And even though that's backed off, I think we had a high of 70 of NOVE trading over May. You know, we're down in the mid 40s, but that's still, you know, it's still in an upward pattern. It's still on the trend line, and I agree with you. I find it hard to see soybeans. So, you know, I mean, corn was down limit today at one point. I'm going to find it hard for soybeans to be down limit intraday at some point over the next couple of weeks just because the demand keeps on. I mean, even today we had exports, you know, announcement. We're seeing more and more announcements for exports from China and unknown in, you know, decent, you know, robust sales. And we're going to see a weather market. So, I agree with you. I think there's probably more room for upside in beans, especially if the weather changes and gets hotter and drier. And you know, the fact is too, the United States can be the only game in town in the export market. Between probably starting now or in the next few weeks, you know, until February or so, you know, and it's just going to be, you know, and so we'll just have to see what happens. And then you need South America to have a big crop.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I think there's a lot more optimism on the price side now. You know, it'll be interesting to see Tuesday we get the COT data on Friday based off today. So if you listen into this, just remember we'll write about it at the end of the week or early next week after this big break in corn. Really interesting to see kind of how the trade is set up. And you know, for me, now is the time. If you want to re-own, this is a great opportunity. You know, obviously it's when the price is behind us, it's almost like it's like you want to re-own when the price is high, but you know you caught a little bit of a break here. If you made sales at those high 440 levels or 430 even, or shoot, even the high 420s at this point look pretty good, you can come in and re-own that $5 call for under a dime now. That was going for 20 cents earlier in the week. So the world we live in, you know, with the macro stuff going on in Europe, and all of a sudden the world can look a lot different pretty quickly. And I would be very, very careful here to call call any bottoms or tops on on the bean market, because I think there's so much unknown. And then even if, you know, I'm looking at your spreadsheet here, just penciling in a 48 yield on 84. I mean, yes, the ending stocks are huge, but we could have a demand hike, and you could see China come in and import another 100, 150 million bushels, which is totally possible. Right. We're right back on 300 again. So it's a rocky road. I would be very careful up here. The longs are certainly in, which has me bearish, but there are less of them now, especially in the corn market. So
that's set my expectations a little bit. That's interesting, too, because the funds were so long. And, I mean, I had a massive long position. It's going to be really interesting to see, because on Friday when that report comes out, is it as of the close on Tuesday, right?
Yeah, as of today.
Of today. So that will be interesting to see. I really would like to see who's still long corn. And then for beans, I would think the funds would be holding on to those bean longs for a while now until at least, they get a very good handle on the weather and production.
Absolutely. So anyway, we're looking, we pretty much the same macro, we got the Brexit thing this week. I don't see anything from there. I guess I'm a little more of a pessimist when it comes to anybody leaving the Eurozone. A lot of threatening, but not a lot of action. You see anything there to worry about?
No, I don't. And, the only thing I've been really watching on wheat is the VSR.
Yeah, your VSR.
It looks like that's a lock now.
Explain a little bit the mechanics on how they'll announce that,
I'll actually look into that, because it goes to the end of the month, and the next, on the next podcast, we'll get into how that goes. But if you Google, let's say, VSR, CME Group or something like that, it'll bring you to the page. And what they have is they have a running calculator, and over that 26-day period, they take, basically the full carry of, they know what the full carry of July SEP wheat is, and if it's over 80%, then the VSR will click in. So they take a 26-day rolling average, and if you go there, I think we're like the rolling average is so high that we would have to really collapse now to go back. So it's pretty much a lock in my opinion, that we're going to have a VSR expansion, and that's going to widen out the spread. So if you look at July versus September, we're at 13, 14-cent carry. I mean, full carry on that spread is 12 cents. So we're already trading over 100% full carry in that, expecting that to happen. With September versus December, we're at 20 cents. With the current VSR, full carry on that is around 18 cents. We're trading 2 cents over full carry in that spread. And if that gets a VSR click, then the full carry is going to be like 27 cent carry. The one I, from a trader's perspective, the one I would be looking at is September versus May, or September versus July. Probably would have if September versus December, if the full carry is 27 cents for SEP versus DEIS, 27 times 0.8, that's 27 times 0.8, 80% is 22 cents. 22 cent carry is not that far away right now in SEP versus DEIS, meaning that if we close in the next period, which will come in a month and a half from now, then we get a second VSR click. So another 3 cents per month expanded. So if we get a great wheat crop, the carrying charges that the elevators can charge can be a lot more and allow the spreads to widen out, if that's what the market wants to go. Right now it's kind of official, it's kind of held high artificially. So it'll be interesting to see. I know it's not the easiest concept. It's not the sexy one out there, but it is going to dictate on how the sweet market trades, especially when it comes to the spreads.
Yeah, and I think the KC Chicago probably gets some effect too. I haven't seen quite a move yet. We're off the lows a little bit, but I expect that to perform a little bit if there'd be some expansion in the Chicago wheat side.
I think the KC Chicago wheat has two things going for it potentially coming up. One, if VSR expands, that's going to put pressure on the front month of the Chicago wheat contracts. All right, and then so if you're using like September Kansas City wheat for September Chicago wheat, or let's say the DEIS contracts, you would think that would help out Kansas City, because Kansas City right now, for storage reasons, is priced at the market. While you can make the case wheat is kind of artificially a little bit, higher, overvalued in that sense because of the VSR. So when the VSR allows that to come down, you would think there'd be a little bit of a change in KC versus Chicago. But also, if there, we've been talking about before how, you know, corn might lose demand for feed. I think if they do, it's gonna from that. It's gonna be from that Kansas City contract. You know, the Kansas City wheat has a higher protein than the Chicago wheat, and it's trading lower. So if you're looking to replace wheat, you know, corn with wheat, I would think it would be that Kansas City hard red winter wheat that they would use and go to. So if that's the case, you know, then that'd be the second catalyst you would think Kansas City could, you know, from a, just a, the feed replacement would perform a little bit better than Chicago. Again, that's pure speculation, but, sure, you know, that is something that I'd be watching for. Like, as we come to the end of the month, does the VSR kick in? And also at the end of the month, we get the stocks report. And did wheat, mm-hmm, did corn lose feed to wheat? And if it did, I'm guessing it's going to be Kansas City. So I'll definitely keep an eye on that Kansas City versus Chicago spread, you know, heading into the end of the month.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Well, we know 20 minutes. No reports really between now and our next conversation. So Craig and I will get into all the grain stocks and acreage results. Maybe do, you know, like I said, put a visual on the homepage so you guys can see what we're talking about in regards to the spreadsheet. And, you know, hopefully things calm down for between now and then, but I have a feeling we'll probably see quite a bit of back and forth.
Yeah, I think you're right. And should be interesting 2 weeks in the grain markets. The one last thing I'll just touch on before we wrap up here is cattle. Looks like it's trying to bottom. I know there has been a lot of, you know, what's going on in the cattle market right now is they have a lot of product. They're doing the right thing. They're bringing a lot of this product to market and working off excess supplies. It's bringing the cash prices down. It's you know, the futures are pretty well discounted now to the cash and where we are. So I don't know. I'm keeping an eye on October and December cattle to see if it actually can find some support here. You know, there's an old saying, you know, in bull markets don't make contract lows. And we have been seeing, you know, some contract lows being made in the cattle market here. But I don't know. I'm thinking I'm keeping these in mind. And I think it's a matter of time here, you know, until, you know, the slaughter stops and we can actually get some kind of footing in cattle. I'm not calling a bottom now, but it's definitely something I want to keep an eye on because prices are getting pretty low and futures are getting very discounted to the cash market.
Definitely. I think it's, you know, just like we were in corn, we were very heavily overextended to the long side. Mm-hmm. Same exact trade now in the feeder cattle, the short side. Just, you know, it's not the same fund structure. That doesn't take a lot to get us off that zero level, but I just feel there's the end of the quarter's approaching. You get this quarterly numbers. Maybe we get a little bullish data there, and all of a sudden the trade, which happened to be on one side, all of a sudden shifts to get out, and maybe we get a big push up to, say, the mid-140s. I don't think there's a lot of hope here. We're trading back up towards 170 again, but
right,
you know, the buy what's fed and sell what eats trade appears to be a coming to an end, and I think we'll balance out a little bit, maybe retest that 100-day moving average on the front month somewhere, you know, in the high 140s. That'd be optimistic in my opinion.
Yeah, agreed. So yeah, so that's what we'll be watching, and anything else, John?
No, that's it. You guys have a great week. We'll talk to you next weekend.
Okay. All right, thanks a lot, John. Talk to you later.
This material is conveyed as a solicitation for entering into a derivatives transaction. This material has been prepared by a Daniels trading broker who provides research market commentary and trade recommendations as part of his or her solicitation for accounts and solicitation for trades. Daniels Trading, its principals, brokers, and employees may trade in derivatives for their own accounts or for the accounts of others. Due to various factors such as risk tolerance, margin requirements, trading objectives, short-term versus long-term strategies, technical versus fundamental market analysis, and other factors, such trading may result in the initiation or liquidation of positions that are different from or contrary to the opinions and recommendations contained therein. Past performance is not necessarily indicative of future performance. The risk of loss in trading futures contracts or commodity options can be substantial, and therefore investors should understand the risks involved in taking leveraged positions and must assume responsibility for the risks associated with such investments and for their results. You should carefully consider whether such trading is suitable for you in light of your circumstances and financial resources. You should read the risk disclosure accessed at www.danielstrading.com. Daniels Trading is not affiliated with, nor does it endorse any trading system, newsletter, or similar service. Daniels Trading does not guarantee or verify any performance claims made by such systems or services.